Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 79, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My God, it was thy grace, and that did my strength supply. And when thou didst hide thy face, a sore trouble then was I. To thee, O I cried, O Lord, to thee I made my supplicating plea. All the stanzas of Psalter 79.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, and thereof chapter 15, beginning with verse 12 to the end. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as it is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal God of the heavens and of the earth, we have heard out of thy holy word most solemn matters which do affect each and every one of us. For there shall not be one, not young or old, that shall not be present in that great day of days, when the earth shall give up her dead, and when we will stand together before the judgment seat of God. And thou knowest our unbelieving hearts. Thou alone art able to give us life. We have heard it out of thy word, that in Adam all die. And Lord, we do experience this death, and that death that is in ourselves by nature. When there is no life, then there is no breathing, there is no longing, there is no desiring, even as we have heard it explained to us in this morning hour. And then that life must come from thee. But thou sayest, as in Adam all die, so in Christ must all be made alive. Oh, that thou wouldst remember young and old. For without this life, then we shall die also that eternal death, in that great day of days, both soul and body, to be cast away from thy eternal and blessed presence. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Today thou still givest us a Sabbath day, still a day of grace, a time of salvation, wherein thou dost invite us to seek thee, and not only to invite, but also, as we have heard in this morning hour, to give those blessed promises to draw, for they shall praise the Lord that seek him. O Lord, that thou wouldst give in the hearts of young and old together that desire to seek thee, for thou sayest that they that seek thee, they will surely find thee, and they will one day also praise thee, they shall glorify thee. O that thou may give in the hearts of each and every one of us that life from the dead. O Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and there is nothing that can come from the dead. O that thou wouldst do it for the sake of thy great and holy name. And when thy children do feel that continuing death within themselves, that is that earthliness that we have heard of in these moments, then thou art able to give by renewal that spiritual life to burn within, that thou wouldst so draw them even in this hour, that thy word may touch a chord within, that thou thyself would be in the midst of us, to dwell, to take up thy abode within the hearts of each of us, that we may not cleave to all the things that do draw our natural hearts here below, but that we may forsake the world and every former friend, and that the desires of our heart may be renewed in thy house, and that we may be enabled to go forward into another week in this world, wherein thou dost require us to do the labors of our hands, but not to use the world in a way wherein that we do abuse it, to cleave unto it, and to seek our happiness and our contentment from it. Oh, that we may feel the vanity, that we may feel the emptiness, that all things are passing away, and that that treasure that is in heaven may become our treasure, not only for the first time, but also by renewal. Lord, thou knowest what is necessary in the cutting off of all the hopes of a man, that we may become less and less and nothing, and that thou may become more and more and everything, and that thou wouldst reveal thyself in the life of those who do not know the way. For thou sayest thyself that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. O Lord, thou knowest also those who are lost. Then there are many that are lost, but do not feel it, that do not know it, but whom thou hast instructed in this way. Then they are not able to find a way in and of themselves. For it is not enough to be instructed in our minds from our youth, but it is necessary that thou wouldst open our eyes. For thou sayest that he that hath an ear, let him hear. But Lord, we have no ears unless thou givest them unto us for the first time or by renewal. Oh, that we may be given such ears and such eyes to see, to hear in this afternoon hour, that there may be a word even unto the children, to our young people, that thou wouldst give them in the days of their youth so to remember their Creator, and that thou wouldst bless them as we cannot receive other blessings in this world, that thou wouldst bless them with blessings out of thy heavenly store, that they may in the days of their youth learn to love, to seek, and that they may also find thee. Remember us as parents. The devices of Satan are many, and he is also powerful in our hearts and in the hearts of our children. But he is not almighty. And we have heard even in these moments that thou hast risen from the dead. Oh, then thou hast shown thy power over death itself, wherein Satan does keep a man. Oh, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Wilt thou then show thy power in the days in which we are living? Also amongst our youth and our rising generation, but also in our parents. Lord, that thou wouldst give each of us together that tender fear of thy name, that may live daily with that fear, that we may lead our children in the way of thy statutes and all of thy commandments. Oh, that fear may make us careful how that we walk in the midst of this world with our children, and that we would not be able to lead them by the hand in the ways of vanity in this world, and but that they may be given to see instructors in their school, parents also in their home, office bearers within the church, as examples of godliness, and that they may be so drawn even as a Ruth of old, even when there are many trials and many afflictions to be endured by thy church, so that they may become those who also do say, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. Look upon us as a nation, as a people. Thou knowest all that Satan does do in the lands wherein that we dwell. Oh, that thou may cause us to return again, that thou wouldst not deal with us according to our many, many sins. And wilt thou remember all that do bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world. Thou alone art able to make it to prosper. Satan would have it to be put away. And more men go on in their unbelief. departing more and more even in an outward way from thy law and from thy commandments, so that we can do nothing but bring thy judgments down upon ourselves. But that judgment that must begin even at the house of God. Oh, that we as a people may not look and condemn only our neighbors, but that we may first put our hands into our own bosom, and that they may be taken out leprous, and that we may be given to see how far we have permitted the world to come into our hearts and into our homes, that we may be given a true repentance before thee, to walk in all of thy ways. Oh, that thou may remember thy word then that goes forth, and wilt thou give strength unto all that bring it also unto the students, and wilt thou supply in the mind and in the body, and give that word free course. Be with us in this afternoon hour. Any that may not be able to be among us, remember the widows and the widower, and all those that do mourn the losses of their loved ones, those that suffer from afflictions of the mind and of the body, and have perhaps many troubles that may not be known to others in this world. Oh, that thou may give a place at thy footstool, wherein alone help may be found, and that it may be experienced that there is a God in heaven, and that there may be an endearment unto thee for the hearing of prayer for the natural things, and that so the soul may be drawn to love thee. O Lord, that thou would so remember us as a congregation, young and old. O thou art able to give thy word place. We beseech it of thee in this afternoon, even amongst all, even amongst so much death. O thou, as that living Spirit of God, show thyself to be among us, feelingly and believingly in this afternoon hour, and that there may be hearts that are raised from the dead by thee, and that there may be fruit upon the labors that may be in the midst of us. Do it, Lord, undeservedly from our side, for the sake and for the name of thine only begotten Son, in whom thou art so well pleased. We ask it for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 55, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord my shepherd holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me. No want shall find me there. And what follows in stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 55, and the last collection today, is for the Synodical Education Committee. Thank you. beloved congregation, did you ever fear to go to sleep? You say maybe that is a foolish question. No, I do not fear to go to sleep. And that we understand. But we know for ourselves in the past several years, several times, that we have feared to close our eyes because of the fear that we should never wake again. No, we do not fear to go to sleep. Why not? Because we expect to awake again. That is our hope. As we lay our head down upon our pillow, that is our comfort. That is in an expectation. Death, that is in God's word, very often called a sleep. We read that the Lord said to Moses that thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. We read that the Lord said of David that he fell on sleep and that he was laid unto his fathers. Paul says there are many that are weak and sickly among you, and he says many sleep. And again, he says we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Why did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples, our friend Lazarus sleepeth? When later he said to them more plainly, Lazarus is dead. It is because the Lord Jesus would raise him from his sleep, just the same as a man, he would raise him from the dead, just the same as a man is awakened out of his sleep. And so the Lord Jesus said of the daughter of Jairus, weep not, for she is not dead, but sleepeth. And though they laughed him to scorn, he put forth his hand and took her by the hand and raised her up, even as one does awaken out of their sleep. Daniel speaks of those who sleep in the dust of the earth. But he says, they shall awake. Some, he says, to everlasting life. And some, he says, to shame and everlasting contempt. Of what does he speak? He speaks of the general resurrection of the dead. And that is the subject of our Lord's Day for this afternoon, which can be found in Lord's Day 22, question 57. Lord's Day 22, question 57. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? Answer, that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. So far, our Lord's Day. That speaks of the reunion of soul and body. First, and what is necessary for that reunion, is the immortality of the soul. That not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head. And second, the resurrection of the body, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. Thus, the reunion of soul and body, first, the immortality, and second, the immortality of the soul, and second, the resurrection of the body. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? Thus, once again, our fathers, they speak about comfort. There is so much fear in this world, and there is so little true comfort. What is that thing that is feared the most by a man? What do you fear the most, children? And when you fear something in this world, and then when you look a little further, a little deeper into what it is that you are actually fearing, then what is it that you must say and that you fear the most? Well, then you will say, I am afraid to die. That is right. In the Bible, we read that death, as we heard together this hour, and that is the last enemy. That is an enemy that is very greatly feared, and rightly so. Therefore, the devil himself, he says, skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. And now our fathers, they speak about comfort. They speak about comfort over against the greatest fear that a man can have in his whole life. They speak about comfort over against death. Is that not a great matter? Is that not a great matter if you and I would be able to close our eyes in death in the same way that we close our eyes in sleep? What is necessary for that? Well, then we need the same expectation that we have when we close our eyes in sleep. And what is that expectation? That is that we would awake again. Thus, do we also have this expectation? And is that expectation also our comfort? How different is that comfort that man tries to take unto himself in a natural way in this world? It is actually exactly the opposite. That is, that he says to himself and gives to himself a hope that he shall never awake again. The Sadducees and the Epicureans, they denied the resurrection of the body, but they denied also even the immortality of the soul. And when we think about atheism, then is also such a denial when they say that dead is dead. There is then a complete extinction of man. But what is the only destruction that we see around us as we are in this world? Then it is not a destruction whereby the matter that God has created in this world is completely extinguished, is annihilated, but it is but a breaking down of things that are more complex into their more simple parts. The soul that is not complex, the soul that is, we call, a simple thing, that is, it is made of only one thing, a monad, it is said. Thus, the soul cannot be extinguished, the soul that cannot be destroyed. We heard that this morning, how that the Lord Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but fear him who is able to cast both soul and body into hell." Even the heathen philosopher Plato, many years ago, did testify of the existence of an eternal life and a judgment that must come upon all men. Why? Because man conceives of a righteous God, and man sees all about him that righteousness that is not given in perfection in this world. So it must necessarily follow that there is a judgment, and that there is a life wherein righteousness reigns. Socinians, the Mennonites, they speak about a soul sleep. They say when man dies, then the soul sleeps until the great day of judgment, when the soul that awakens once again. But when the Lord Jesus spoke of that rich man and Lazarus, then we read nothing about a soul sleep. Rome, of course, they speak about a purgatory wherein man is purged from his venial, his small sins, for he has not sinned mortally. But we read nothing of the case in the Bible. We read that the Lord Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And we read of Judas that he went unto his place. There are others, they believe in the transmigration of souls, that a soul that goes from one body then into another body. But such strange things also we read nothing of in the Word of God. Thus, the soul of man, after his death, that continues to live. And that soul that retains its own personal identity, it retains its own consciousness, it retains its own memory of all the things that have taken place in his life, then we can read how that rich man, he is speaking about his brethren that are in this world. And so with this consciousness, man is appearing before the Lord in judgment. Solomon, he says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Thus the soul that enters immediately into its eternal abode, there to enjoy immediately a heavenly bliss, or to suffer its eternal torments. And the body that must wait for that call of the Lord, that must wait for that last trump, that must wait for that power that is coming from the Lord on that great day when the Lord will resurrect that body to be united to his soul once again. That is our second thought. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee, that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. We read in Psalm 79 of the defilement of the temple and of the destruction of Jerusalem. It is likely that in this psalm and there is a prophecy made of the future. We know that in prophecy there are often multiple fulfillments. And we know now from history that that temple was not defiled one time. But we can read how that the Assyrians have defiled the temple and laid Jerusalem waste. We read of many years later how that that temple was defiled during the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes. And finally, in 70 AD, that Jerusalem and that was destroyed. What an awful desolation. And that desolation that is spoken of already by way of prophecy in that psalm, and the psalmist, he would, as it were, try to picture for man how great, how awful that desolation would actually be. How can he then point to the greatness of that misery? Well, we read that he speaks about the dead bodies. He says that those dead bodies, they shall not be buried. That is, as it were, the epitome of suffering. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. Thus, we see the awfulness of the suffering in Jerusalem in the fact that even after their death, however awful that may have been in itself, even after their death, that their bodies would not be laid into the grave. We read of the curse of Goliath upon David and also of David upon Goliath, and how that they have expressed that same misery when they said that I will give your body to be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. Thus the burial and the preservation of the body of a man was a practice that has taken place in all ages of the world. Why? Well, because the Lord has given, even as a remnant of that knowledge, as he has made him in the image of God, that man should know, that he should feel, that there will be a resurrection of the dead. Atheism, in the days in which we are living and always, that is a rejection, of course, a conscious rejection of the existence of God. And it is promoting, especially in our day, the practice of cremation. But it is in itself also a rejection in unbelief, and it will avail man nothing in that great day of days. Today, many mock. Many mock when they hear of the resurrection. That is nothing new. We can read of the Athenians, when Paul spoke of the resurrection of the dead, that some mocked. Why did they mock? Well, they say that is not reasonable. That is the exaltation of the reason of man, as if he should believe nothing that his mind cannot grasp, that his mind is not able to comprehend. And yet we know that faith that is never against reason. Thus Paul, he said to King Agrippa, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? And thus, why is that? That man thinks that the resurrection of the dead is a thing that is so incredible, has no credibility. Well, they say, how is it possible? After all, when that body has gone down into the grave, when it has been eaten by the worms or maybe eaten by the beasts of the field, maybe it has gone into the water, it has disintegrated, and the particles of that body, and they are spread all over the world. How then is it now possible that God should raise such a dead body? Well, how is it possible? That is an argument that is directly against the omnipotence of God. To say that God is not able. What did the Lord Jesus say to the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead? He says, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. When the Lord would bring us before him, even as he brought Job before him, and when the Lord would say to us, where wast thou When I lay the foundations of the earth, who has made the measure thereof? Who has laid that line upon it to make it? Have the gates of death been opened unto you? And have you entered into the doors of death? Tell me, if that thou art able, is not creation itself that is all about us, each and every day full of the wondrous works of God, that man is not able to perform not only, but that man is not able even to comprehend? And why should the resurrection of the dead also not be so? But you say, we teach that it is of the same body. That is not possible, that it could be the same body. Science itself that militates against this, your faith, that is now just the faith of the ignorant masses. Oh, why is that? Well, you say, the same body? Well, our bodies, they are changing. The particles of our bodies. When a body would be eaten by a wild beast, or when a body was even eaten by a cannibal, then that body, the particles of that body, they become that becomes actually another person's body. And when an animal does eat that body, and a person would eat that animal, well, how is then that possible? That body that will be the very same body? Young people, education is a blessing. It is a great blessing. But when your knowledge is no longer subject to the Word of God, your knowledge that becomes a curse. The Bible that is not a science textbook. The Bible that is not making a definition, a scientific definition about what it means to be that same body. But we'll ask you a question, simple question, because the Bible that was written also for simple people. And what is that question? Your body. Your body. Are you 15 years old? Are you 20 years old? 5 years ago, did you have the same body? Say, yes, it was the same body. Your consciousness that tells you that was the same body. But does it consist now of all exactly the same particles as 5 years ago? No. You say it's the same body? Yes. And so now that resurrection, that will be in the very same body. And we do not speak about, and the Bible does not speak about scientifically how that the Lord is going to do this. But the resurrection is not a new creation. No, it is a resurrection from the dead. And the Almighty God, the Almighty Creator of the heavens and of the earth, He is going to continue in the day of the resurrection the same kinds of wonders that He is doing each and every day here in our lives. And when you and I, in that day, appear before Him, then every mocking every ignorant, every arrogant, every unbelieving mouth that is going to be stopped. And all the world in that day is going to appear guilty before God. And how then are we going to stand at that great judgment day when we are appearing both with body and soul before the Lord? Let us sing. 29, 2 and 3. I keep before me still the Lord whom I have proved. At my right hand he guards from ill, and I shall not be moved. 2 and 3 of Psalter 29. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thus that wicked unbelief that did not begin yesterday, but it was since the time of the fall. What does Paul say, thou fool? That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. raised us in the resurrection that will be the same body, our consciousness will be able to identify that we say that is myself as I am also today. Otherwise, it is no resurrection at all, but a new creation. And yet, we read that there will be a change, because Paul says it is as the seed that is sown in the earth. But when that seed comes up, children, and then it does not look like a seed anymore, but then it has different properties. And what kind of change is that? Well, we read that Paul says here, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Thus, it is sown a body that can dissolve, that can break down, but it will be raised a body that is permanent, a body that shall live forever, that cannot be dissolved. It is sown, he says, in dishonor. It is sown a dead body. It is sown a stinking body. It is sown an abhorrent body that we have to put out of our sight, we read in the Word of God. But it is raised, Paul says, in glory. It will be raised a beautiful body. It will be raised a glorious body. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, we read. It is sown, Paul says, in weakness, that is, in sickness. It is sown in all kinds of infirmity. That is the way it goes down into the earth. But he says it is raised in power. That is, it is raised in great ability. It is raised with great strength. It is sown a natural body. It is a body which is concerned with nourishment and movement and generation and all the things that are here below in a natural way. But he says it is raised a spiritual body. It is raised with spiritual qualities. It is raised with spiritual apprehensions, desires, longings. Is there not good reason that Paul, when he speaks of the resurrection, that he says, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, he says, we are of all men most miserable. Why? Well, what is the portion of God's church in a special way here in this world? More than all men, what does Christ say? He says, those that follow me, they will be hated of all men. Those that follow me, they will be subject to persecutions. They will have trials. They will have afflictions. Through a much tribulation must ye enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thus, that hope that is not for deliverance here, but that hope for deliverance that is for hereafter. Therefore, Paul says, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. And that is not simply for all the miseries that have to be experienced here below in an outward way, but that is also for those spiritual griefs that are living in the hearts of God's true children. When they have to bear up under the sin, under the corruption, under the vanity of their natural flesh. Is it any wonder that Paul said that he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, he says, which is far better? He wrote to Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand. Departure, what is that? He says, it is the time of my unloosening, the time of my dissolving into parts. Actually, the word is taken from the picture of the unmooring of a sailing vessel. He says, the time of my unmooring, that is at hand. Thus he longed for his soul to be free. He longed for his soul to be free from a body of sin and of death that was to his grief each and every day. He longed that his spirit might fly away, and that he may be freed from his shackles of sin, and that he may serve God without any binding. Truly, that is a people who can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The last enemy to be destroyed, we read, that is death. And when is that enemy destroyed? Well, in a personal way, that is destroyed when man, he is inviting that death. When man, he is seeking that death, when he is longing for it, when his heart that is going out after it, because then that death that is no more enemy unto him, but then that death that is his greatest friend. Because by that death, he passes away from all his burden, and then his soul that is so completely delivered. Oh, what a faith is necessary in order that we may say so as Paul. But when is now that enemy delivered in, when is that enemy of death destroyed in a general way, in a physical way, in an actual way? Well, that is in the day of the general resurrection. Paul speaks about them who sleep in Jesus. These, he says, are the dead which shall arise first. And they are, he calls them, the first fruits of the resurrection of Christ. What are the first fruits? The first fruits were those fruits, those harvest fruits that came in first. And those first fruits, they had to be waved before the Lord. And that had a purpose. That was that they were acknowledged. And then that hope in the promise of the Lord, that the Lord says he will bring not only in the first fruits, but he will make the bread and the water of that people so sure. Thus, the waving of the first fruits, that was to acknowledge what the Lord had first brought in and to lay before the Lord, as it were, his own promise that he would continue with that harvest and that he would bring in the very last of them. And so Christ, he is called the first fruits of them that sleep. That is now the hope of the church of God. That is, when they may lay down their head upon their bed of death, their death bed, then it is in a hope of awakening. A hope of awakening not given to the wicked. No, they must also be awakened, but not because of the same foundation. They must be awakened because they must be judged. But the church for a different cause. Because Christ, he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Congregation, our confession, I believe the resurrection of the body. Do you believe it too? But is it also a comfort to you? Who of us can say that that is a great matter? Words are easy. And we can say, lay death next to it. but to try to look upon death or to have death actually staring us in the face, they are two very different matters. Death, that is a very fearful monster, because in death there will be a rending of two very intimate friends that were joined together by the Lord Himself. That is the soul and the body. But in the resurrection day, there will be a blessed reunion of that soul with that same body. Oh, it shall be for some an awful day. And when their soul has entered into that eternal torment, and then it is only awaiting that day that their body shall also be made indissoluble, so that it will retain itself forever and forever. And then awaiting that day that that body will join my soul and there to suffer together in its eternal torments. But for others, you understand, a blessed day when that body that shall be joined unto that soul and there together to begin that enjoyment of that eternal bliss. Congregation, what a difference. How will it be for us, old children, young people? How will it be for us? We heard such a blessed promise in this morning hour, did we not? They shall praise the Lord who seek Him. Oh, does that not move your heart? Because it is so sure from the side of the Lord. There is no ifs or ands or buts in it, no. But the Lord says they shall. Oh, how will it be for us and for our children on this great day of days? Do we desire to know how it shall be? Can we know how that it shall be? The Lord Jesus, He also spoke of His death. And then He spoke of His resurrection and to His own disciples. What did He say? He says, a little while am I with you. And He says, a little while and ye shall not see me. He says, again a little while and ye shall see me. Why was that, children? Well, because He was going to die. In a little while, they would not see Him anymore. But then He said, also, you shall see me. Why? He says, because I am going to arise from the dead. Now, how was that in the heart of the disciples when the Lord Jesus spoke about His own death and His resurrection? Shall we ask the disciples? Well, we don't need to. Why not? Because the Lord Jesus, He spoke about it. He told the disciples what was living in their heart. He knew what was living in their heart. And He knows what is also living in our heart. What did He say? Ye now therefore have sorrow. When I say to you, a little while and ye shall not see me, ye have sorrow. He says, ye now therefore have sorrow, but ye shall rejoice. And He says, your joy no man taketh from you. These are now those who may have a true hope, a right hope in the resurrection of the dead. Why? Because that is a day when they are going to see him. If now there is in our hearts sorrow because we miss God, because we miss Christ, and if there is in our heart joy, a rejoicing, when we may hear that he will come again, when we have a desire to see him again, then the Lord, he knows that what is living in our heart, that is the same as was living in the heart of his disciples. And you know what he said unto his disciples? He says, ye shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I know there are steps in grace, but even from the very beginning, these affections, they are living in the heart of that people. Congregation, where is now that people with Paul who say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This flesh that cannot be fixed. And there is a people who experience this to their grief. Sanctification that is only by beginning here in this life. And where is it completed, people of the Lord? In the grave. In the grave. Can you desire it a little bit then? That will then be the final deliverance. As the sea was the final deliverance for the children of Israel. And they went down into that death. But they were preserved through that death. And then they came up on the other side of that death. The waters were a wall unto them, on the right hand and on the left. So they did not need to fear. And when they came up on the other side, there we read they rejoiced. Why? Because when they came up on the other side, then they saw all their enemies dead upon the seashore. Such is going to be the sight in that blessed day of the general resurrection for that people who may be raised a spiritual body, and every enemy for which they do grieve this day, they will see dead upon the seashore. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, give us such a hope. Thou knowest by nature that we live in the flesh. We desire the flesh. We wallow in the flesh. But grant us thy spirit that we may live, that we may seek thee, that we may begin here below also to praise thee. For their hearts, they shall live forever, and they shall glorify and magnify thee forever and forever. Give us then a desire for these things. Send us home, O Lord, not empty, but give to us when we depart from this place meditations upon thee and upon thy word of truth, and be thou the after speaker. Keep us in this week from a sudden and an unprepared death. And wilt thou help each one in the labors of our hands, keeping us from sinning against thee and against one another. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 32:2-4. With steadfast courage I design no wrong to speak or do. Thy path of life I choose for mine, and walk with purpose true. For help, O God, I cry to thee, assured that thou wilt answer me. 2:3-4 of Psalter 32. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up